I'm speaking with Roberta Kisik. Roberta is a clan mother, a trapper, a blockader, and a grandmother based in the community of Grassy Narrows in northwestern Ontario. She is currently facing charges for building traditional trapper's cabins on her land. Roberta, welcome to No One Is Legal Radio.
Oh, hi.
Roberta, these charges have been hanging over your head for the last 5 years. You're facing several tens of thousands of dollars of fines. The cabins are being threatened with destruction by the Ministry of Natural Resources. Can you describe for our listeners what exactly you're facing and why you're insisting on building these cabins on your land?
So we started building those cabins around after 2004, and officially I was charged on March 2007, and I'm being charged for building two cabins and also being charged for refusing to obey a stop work order. And but my position is my people, the Anishinaabeg, have always been here. We've been here since time immemorial. We've always been here, and we've never had to ask for permission. And that's the basis of why I'm being charged, is because I feel as an Anishinaabeg, we don't have to ask for permission to be out there. And as a result, I'm being charged by the Ministry of Natural Resources.
Your actions to build these cabins and to defy the Ministry of Natural Resources comes within the context of a broader struggle at Grassy Narrows, which has now become renowned around the country and around the world in many respects, where your community has engaged in a blockade to try to prevent clear-cut logging and also try to raise awareness around environmental devastation. So could you talk a bit about how your actions to build these traditional cabins in defiance of what the government says fits in with the broader context of resistance and struggle at Grassy Narrows?
As Anishinaabeg, the land is a very important part of us. Everything, like the land, you know, is the basis of who we are. Like we, our sweat lodges are made from everything from the land. That's how we pray, and our foods and our medicines, and so the whole blockade is to do with that, is trying to preserve and get back, you know, what's been destroyed of the Anishinaabeg. And it's all part of the same thing, and that we're trying to retain and get back. There's not much of the land left. I practically maybe 75% of the land has been clear cut and logged, and there's only like maybe barely 25% left of the land, maybe, you know, almost intact. I'm not sure if actually any of it is still old growth, but there's not much there, you know, left for us to maintain and who we are. And the land is who we are. The land is us, and we're the land too.
Can you talk about the importance to you for building these cabins? Why are you building them? What are you trying to accomplish within your community by building these cabins and encouraging people to continue to trap?
It's about, it's like for me, I take my little grandchildren there. My grandchildren are 3 years old and 7 years old, and I also have another one that's 6 years old. Like, it's for me, it's like I take them out there now, and I try and give back to them that which makes up who they are, like being Anishinaabeg. And so for me, like, it's you know, it's trying to give my grandchildren back like their identity. And which is, you know, like their identity is the land and also my other relatives that I like would like them to come out there too where we're building the cabins. And so also we do have like rights, you know, with for hunting and fishing, and we have like Aboriginal and treaty rights. And but the important thing is also like just the way of life, the culture, and trying to give the culture and that way of life back to our children, our grandchildren.
Roberta, many communities, Native communities that sit on natural resources such as yours, whether it's forestry, whether it's mining, are encouraged and have been entering into agreements and deals with both government and with corporations so that Native people can be part of or partners to resource extraction on their communities. Can you share with our listeners your views of that, your views of entering into agreements so that there can be shared resource extraction and there can be a good deal made for Native communities?
It's all to do with the state of the First Nations. A lot of high unemployment and a lot of welfare dependence because of no employment. So we're being forced to, you know, to get into those agreements. But I think that's like a lot of times there's like what I mentioned, for us the forest, practically everything is already is already gone, and there's not much to spare actually for forestry activities. And there also is mining in our lands too, and that too is, you know, that there's so much mining, and you know, I think it's just, it's kind of scary that it's disrupting the environment. And but I think our First Nations, our communities are being forced to get into those agreements because of, you know, people in the reserve, we need, want to have jobs, and like economically we're kind of like we need something. I think that's forcing our communities to go into those agreements. And but I think, you know, with management of co-management, some of us have thought that the creator already like manages the forest, and like that's how we view it. Like under our laws, the creator is the manager of the natural resources, and it does a better job than MNR has been doing over the management of resources. And we prefer that, you know, just to be left alone, you know, for the creator to continue to manage it or try and bring health back into the natural resources, because it seems like everything in the whole world is really going off balance and causing a lot of the problems we're having, like the global climate change and just the fires and the sicknesses that are coming out, and that's all to do with the whole earth being going off balance. And so that's my views on your question,
Roberta. To conclude, you're going to be going to trial in October. Could you tell our listeners what your intentions are going into this summer and this fall? Are you intending to keep these cabins, and what are your intentions as you're facing trial and facing potential significant financial loss and destruction of your cabins as a result of these proceedings.
Well, I wanted to actually mention a couple things that in you know, as part of the evidence against me for like that MNR is collected. They like I have a sweat lodge out there in one of the cabins, and they took pictures of that sweat lodge, which is like against like the laws of my own people, and but they've, you know, decided that, you know, they, for some reason, I don't know how, but that, you know, that's part of their evidence against me is the fact that I built the sweat lodge out there. And I wanted to mention that because that really disturbed me, and that they did that, that they took pictures of the sweat lodge. And also, like recently, this past month, one of the cabins was vandalized and was somebody sawed through, like almost through my one of my logs on the foundation structure, and also cut down a sign showing that area is a Grassy Narrows territory, traditional territory, and somebody sawed down that sign. The tree was perfectly healthy. It didn't need to be cut, and it just showed me that, you know, somebody's just trying to send a message of, you know, what they think about us being on the land. So besides, you know, being charged for trying to be on the land, and we're also getting harassed, and the police told me that I can't do anything about it because it's Crown land. You know, we're not even being recognized. You know, they refer to it as Crown land, but to me, it's not Crown land. It's the land is Anishinaabe land, and we have the right to be out there, like unharassed and uncharged. And a lot of our people are being scared off by these things, and so, you know, maybe they end up on the streets instead. They end up, you know, feeling like they're stuck on the reserves and feeling depressed, you know, and no jobs, and when they could be on the land. But when they try to be on the land, this is what happens to them. This is not uncommon. This is what's happening. And I want to bring that out. But for my trial, and I am continuing to, will continue to be building the cabins, and I am in my trial, I'm not doing anything wrong. I feel like I'm not doing anything wrong. My kids don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I'm just being who I am. I'm just trying to be who I am. I'm Anishinaabe, and that's all I am, and that's all I'm doing is just being Anishinaabe. In trying to be out there. And so at my trial, that'll be what I will continue to say, because I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not bothering anybody. You know, other people are bothering me, you know, by vandalizing the cabin. And like I'm proceeding on the basis that in my heart, you know, I'm not scared, and because I'm not doing anything wrong, and this is not for me. This is not about me. This is about, you know, the future generations. It's about my grandchildren. It's about giving them back their culture and giving them back who they are. You know, so maybe, you know, maybe they'll be happier instead of maybe wanting to commit suicide. We've got so many kids committing suicide today.
Roberta, thank you for taking the time to speak with us on No One's Legal Radio.
Yeah, thank you for giving me a chance.